This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled All Gave Some Gave All, was delivered on November 10th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Tomorrow and today, Lord, as we remember that, let us never forget the sacrifice that you made for our eternity. So, Father, right now, we want to be a part of that eternity as we give to you these gifts. Lord, would you receive them, multiply them like only you can, and do your eternal glory with them. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Woo! Go ahead, ushers. Hey, veterans there. How many veterans we have here? Can you stand up? Please stand up. Yes, we give them applause. Woo! Keep standing. Keep standing. Because we have something small for you. Yeah, wow. Yeah, look at that. We get back there. Thank you to all of you who are veterans. Thank you so much for what you do. Wait, you guys, Rico, you got to still stand because. Yeah. And then Rylan in the back, thank you so much for your selfless act of service for our country. We truly gratefully appreciate it, and we thank you. Just a small token of our appreciation, a cup of coffee that you can go and enjoy. You know, I've been to funerals of veterans. I've done several veterans' funerals. And, you know, I even had to do my dad's funeral. And, you know, when I was there at Punch Bowl and the military man played taps and it just echoes through the crater. Anybody been to Punch Bowl? You know, I've never been to Punch Bowl until my dad died and I went to do his service and up there. And somehow, whenever I hear taps playing on the bugler, just like the tear ducts in your eyes just let loose. And it just, your tears just flow because you hear it. And, you know, it's like every time you hear it, it's because somebody passed away. And, man, it's so touching. I was born in 1963. Okay, and when I turned 18, I had to register for the draft. How many of you old guys had to register for the draft? Not the NFL draft, nah. Or the NBA, or the MLB, you know, the United States of America military draft, because that was the law. That's how old I am. And although I think that was the last year of my age, and although I was never drafted, you know, it was a law and I had to do it. And back then, there was some kind of fear of going into the military, not knowing what to expect, where would I go, leaving the comforts of home. But if I did go, I guarantee it would probably have done me some good, so maybe I should have gone. It probably would have done me so much good than harm and would have probably kept me out of so much trouble. Either that, or I would have gone in there and have been the troublemaker. The one say, hey, you, come on, let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's go do something bad. You know, and that's it probably would have straightened me out a whole lot earlier than the 37 years of this life that took to straighten me out. You know, my dad was in the military, and, you know, he never ever talked about, you never hear any stories of what went on and where he went or where he was. My dad's brother, my uncle, was in the 442nd, and I never knew that until the day of his funeral, because he never spoke about it. You know, I cannot imagine what they went through going to another country to fight for our freedom. You know, I think maybe if I did get drafted and I did go and serve, I would appreciate this freedom so much more than I do. Because I believe that I take my freedom here for granted. And a lot of the liberties that I have, I take for granted. Although I try to remain humble and thankful and live with a heart of gratitude and appreciation, you know, I think if I did enter into serving our country, I think I would have a greater appreciation for what they go through. This past Thursday, I was at Starbucks. I was buying those gift cards for our veterans. So I was, and you know, because I buy the gift cards, I gotta get something to drink, right? So one of the ladies on our volleyball team works for Starbucks. So she tells me what to drink. This cold brew thing, this is probably the one that has the most caffeine inside. So I ordered that, and then I ordered the gift cards, and then a few people behind me, there's three men in uniform. So as I'm waiting for my coffee, these three guys go to the counter, and I say, excuse me, can I buy your coffee? And they look at me like, oh, no, please, I really want to do this. You know, it's Veterans Day coming up, and I just want to tell you how much I appreciate what you guys do. And so they finally decide, oh, okay, you can buy our coffee. And then they shake my hand, and then they thank me. And I was thinking, like, I'm thanking you, but they're thanking me, and they're telling they appreciate me when I'm saying, no, I'm appreciating you. And it's like, you know, sometimes when I guess maybe you're in uniform, you're in public, you may be kind of like, there might be for some, might be like an entitlement thing, like, yes, I deserve a cup of coffee from you. But these guys were so humble, and they were so nice, and they were so kind. I felt like, wow. I felt so good just to do something for them. And I said, thank you for serving our country, and I appreciate you. And I have always said that I am thankful for our military, because they sacrifice so much. Some people, I mean, if you were on the way to Kona and you were stuck behind the military convoy, what would the words out of your mouth be? Oh, I really appreciate you guys, man. Even if I am going to be an hour late because you drive so slow. Oh, right? I mean, honestly, what would the words out of your mouth be like? Oh, these guys. Why are they got to do them when I'm going to Kona? But I appreciate them, and hopefully I never get stuck behind them. But, you know, if you do, we still got to appreciate them, right? Because here it is, number one, veterans fought for our freedom. In John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You know, just as Jesus laid down his life for us, for you and I, who he calls his friends. Man, how you like that? Jesus calls you friend. Doesn't call you acquaintance. Doesn't call you, eh. Calls you friend. Right? Friend. Some of these soldiers, they go to battle not knowing if they're going to return or not. How many of you have been to the memorials in Washington, D.C.? I mean, there are so many. And when you go there, there's just like a sense of heaviness, of sacrifice. Like, you ever do the Arizona Memorial? You know, I lived on Oahu for 27 years. Never been to the Arizona Memorial until I came here. Then I had to go back there and play tourist. Go figure, yeah? Sometimes I really want to kick myself. I've never been in the Diamond Head Crater hike. I didn't do so many things as I lived there for so many years. And now when I'm up here, I want to do the things that's done up there. And now when I'm here, I don't do the things that I should be doing here. Watch when I move away. And then, oh, I wish I did that. Somehow, but, you know, when you go to these places and you see all these names written on the wall, some in granite, and you realize that they went away to fight for the freedoms and liberties that you and I have now, like the freedom to stand here, to sit here, to worship God. They fought for those things. They fought for us so we have the freedom of speech and we can speak stuff that might not even be honorable to them, but they fought for that anyway. They went there to fight, not knowing if they're going to return. And a lot of them didn't. They and their families, they made huge sacrifices. Some of them changed their whole lifestyle. They gave up the comforts of home. How many of you sleep in your own bedroom? Come on. Come on. I mean, imagine these guys gave up their freedoms to sleep in a barracks with I don't know how many other snoring men. How many of you went on a men's retreat and the men in your barracks, I had like five guys in my room, five chainsaws going off all night long. These guys sacrificed their own comfortable bedroom to go sleep in a room with 50 other guys snoring. Even if they gave me my own room, I don't know if I would want to go. But they changed, they made sacrifice because they fought for a cause that they believed in and that they felt that it was a worthy cause. In Numbers 1 verse 3, it says, you and Aaron, Moses and Aaron, are to number by their divisions all the men in Israel, 20 years old or more, who are able to serve in the army. War was around from the beginning of the Bible. People had to fight for what they believed in. Here in the book of Numbers, Moses and Aaron, they had to number all the men 20 years and older. Why? So they knew how much people they had that they could depend on to go to battle. Seems like that war is going to be around until Jesus returns. And as long as we have wars, we will have casualties and veterans. And you and I, we get to continually thank them and pray for them, be grateful for their service and sacrifice, because they go and fight on our behalf. And while the veterans fought for our freedoms and liberties, number two, Jesus died for your freedom from sin. In John 3:16, Jesus says, for God so loved this world, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus died so that we, you and I, can have the freedom from sin. Romans 6:18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. See, all of us have a master, and we pattern ourselves after that. And Jesus is our master. And without Jesus, we would have no other choice, and we would be enslaved to sin. And the result would be guilt, suffering, separation from God. But we're thankful for Jesus, and we can choose now God as our master. Before him, we had no choice. Sin was our master. But now we have a choice. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, and the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. See, every person has a master. Either it's God or sin. All right? It's not your wife. It's not your spouse. Okay, it's God or sin. A Christian is not someone who cannot sin, but someone who is no longer a slave to sin. And we belong to God. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, we no longer have to be that slave to sin. We just come to God, confess, and he forgives. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that we can have eternal life and the forgiveness of sin. Okay, so our veterans, they fought for our freedom. Jesus, he died for our salvation. Number three, we have to remember what both of them did. In Philippians 1, I thank my God in all remembrances of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. See, the Philippians, he was writing about, he remembered them with joy and thanksgiving. And whenever he prayed, that's what he did. He thanked them. By helping Paul, when the Philippians helped Paul, by helping him, they were helping the cause of Jesus Christ. They were helping to advance the kingdom of God. And the Philippians were willing to be used by God for whatever he wanted them to do. So when we think of God, we are thankful. When we think of our veteran, what comes to mind? Are we remembering them for the sacrifices they made? Are we keeping them in our prayers? When you see them in town, do you let them know that you will be grateful? Because if you see them in uniform and you thank them, I don't think they would be ungrateful. I think they'd be happy that you said thank you. But not only our veterans, but also Jesus, who gave his life so we could have eternal life. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, I could not imagine what he was going through his mind. Maybe then, other than, oh, this is so painful. But because I love them, I can bear it. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. God showed his love for you and I. That even when we weren't in church and we may have been out there in the world doing stuff that would be not honoring to him, he still died for us. He still died for those who are still out there doing stuff that is not honoring God. He demonstrated his love for them. Because when we were yet sinners, he still died, regardless of if we was going to repent or not, he died. And our last point, which is action, because we every time we get a message, it has to call us into action. It cannot be, oh, that was so good, it tickled my ears, and I'm going to keep sitting in my seat. It has to call us to action. We get to do something about it. Romans 12:1. Therefore, which is always there for something, right? Whenever the Bible says therefore, it's there for a reason. Therefore, I urge you, like, therefore, get out of your seat, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, I don't want to nail you to the cross, not that kind of sacrifice, okay? Because even if we nail you to the cross, your blood is not going to do nothing for anybody. Okay? To offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. These guys who come up and sing, they offer their bodies, their voices, and they sing to the Lord. That's their act of worship. You and I, we can show God our gratitude by serving him, by worshiping him with our whole body. We can also share his love with our family, friends, those who we come in contact with. There are so many things we can do to thank God. I think one of the best things we can do to thank God is to share Him with our family and friends. Amen. See, the reason why we do stuff like a Thanksgiving luncheon, it's not for us to have a comfortable huddle and just eat, but it's a time that, hey, invite your neighbors because they love to eat. I bet your neighbors love to eat, right? Right? I mean, who doesn't love to eat? Right? You guys love to eat? Yeah. You guys love to eat? Oh, yeah. And we do this so that you can bring a dish, bring a friend. And like Pastor Aaron said, he hit it right on. If they don't want to come to church, tell them come. He said 10:30. I tell them come 10:05. Because if they come 10:30, they're going to be in the back of the longest line. So tell them come 10:05 and stand over there. And we as a church are not going to judge them. We're not going to say, oh, look, they're not come to church and they stay in line first. We're not going to do that to them. We're going to say, right on. You and you here, you go eat first. And that's how we can show our appreciation to God, by sharing His love. As for our brethren, hey, we can always let them know we appreciate them, from thanking them personally, to buying them a cup of coffee, to praying for them and their family. And you don't even have to see them to pray for them. Right? You can just pray from your house. Doing something is much better than doing nothing. Amen. And to close this service, I want to invite Heather. Heather, she's like our top highest ranking Air Force person on this island. Pastor Aaron, where's the mic? Where did he put the mic? Oh, well, you know, she's like the boss. She probably can bark out orders really, really good. And, I mean, if she tell you stand at attention, you better stand, and you better stand quickly. If she tell you jump, you say how high.
Except for on the volleyball court.
Yeah. But would you, what do I call you? Colonel? Lieutenant Colonel? Colonel Commander?
Lieutenant Colonel.
Lieutenant Colonel. Heather. Oh, thank you.
But anyway, as Pastor Klaus said, I've been a 26-year veteran of active duty Air Force and the National Guard. Started off as an E-1, which they don't really make anymore, and progressed on, and I've had the fortunate opportunity to move back for my family here, and my extended family back there to kind of help them out. Sorry, I'm getting teared up. sacrifice. Pastor Scott asked me to talk about sacrifice. And I had this speech made and listening today, and what Pastor Scott said, I'm kind of changing it, so work with me here. When you join, if I could tell my 18-year-old friend back then named Heather Late what she would experience, what she would go through, that her 4-year commitment was going to turn into 26 and more, and that I'd be commanding the unit that I started off with before I went to active duty, she would have laughed. I can tell you that. Because I was coming in and I was like, yeah, I'm going to serve my country. My dad was a Vietnam vet and supported me through this. He didn't want me to come in because he knew what the sacrifice meant for me. But 18 years old, like most 18-year-olds, you don't know where you're going, what you're doing, and you just say, okay, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to pay for college and I'm going to go there. But I learned really quickly that the freedoms that I have will be shackled, that what you as society expect out of me is very different than what everyone else does. And you need to expect us to be at a different level of conduct and so forth because of what we have to do for you. So you need to expect that of us. Time, which is probably the hardest one I had to endure, was the loss of time with my family, the holidays, the birth of my nieces and nephews, my best friends' birthdays. Everything is my family. I've had to give up. My poor husband, I had to turn around one night because there was a lava flow. And it's like, hey, sorry, Tama, date night's going to have to change because I have to speak to one of my airmen. But time is probably one of the hardest ones that I have to do because it only affects me, but it affects my family. And they didn't choose that, I did. So that's hard for me. But I also have the sacrifice of potentially knowing that my airmen, myself, my fellow soldiers and Marines and sailors, that we have to give up that sacrifice. I have a job that I volunteer for, and it's called the Base Honor Guard. And it's the one, like Pastor Scott says, the funeral honors. And for me, three of them stand out. One, believe it or not, is I'm the last person, the last military member that a family sees when that their worst day, when their family member is lost, when I have to kneel down, and I look in their eyes, and I'm holding their hands, and I'm giving them a flag, and it says, please accept this on behalf of your loved one's service. And when these three stand out, because they're all different, they all had the same meaning, but the pain was all there. The first one is a family member that just lost their 19-year-old child. And I'm sitting there, and I can see the anger and the hurt, and it's not against me, but it's what I represent because of what their child gave up. And to sit there and for them to deny that flag, which they have the right to do, but to see that hurt and that pain. But then later they turn around and come back and say, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, I understand. And I give them back that flag. The other one, believe it or not, is actually just recently another death happened, which you wouldn't think of, but a service dog. Yeah, if I could, I'd ask you guys to pray for the Miller family. They actually at New Hope, up like Iwuka is where they go to, but their son is security forces and is a handler. And he just lost his best friend, his partner, his family, a pet. And you wouldn't think, it's a pet, but for those of us who love our animals, says you mind, that is your partner, that's your friend, and he lost that member. And it's his local boy, Keola, and he did that. So when you're, that's a different type of funeral, a different type of look, but it's the same thing because you respect what that animal did for his partner and his family. The other one is when it's my best friend. When I turn around and I have to be at that funeral where you know every part of that person's life and you have to give that flag to them and their family knows you and appreciates you there, but you still feel the hurt even more potent where you have to stand up in front of everyone and hold on to the tears because you know that you're doing something worth that last moment they will see, the last thing they will remember is your face, giving them right there and with the compassion and hope that they know how much we love them going forward. But through all of the sacrifices we have to make, the ones that you don't always see and the ones that we have to endure, the things that get you through, is faith and love. Everything I've had to decide, everything that I've had to endure, things I didn't expect. And you can't train someone. I could tell somebody how to put a satellite in the sky and put a phone line and network and everything else easily. But to tell them how to protect themselves can't come from me. I can teach them and hope that they learn later in life. But it comes from you. So to the families of Ileana, Daniel, and Mike and Malia back there, I want you to know that what my family gave me was faith in God and to know his love and to know your love. Because without that, I could not do what I do. And your sons and daughters, they'll be better prepared coming in. Because on those worst nights when you're talking about what's going on and what I have to do and where I have to go, it's that faith to know that there's a plan and you're going to go. And the love, knowing that my family's going to be there when I come back, no matter how broken I am, no matter what I've seen, what I've heard, and what I've done. So please just remember that you actually started us off. Your faith and your love and what you taught us started us off in the right direction to make us deal with what we have to do. And I want to thank the community, because like Pastor Scott said, when you come up to me, I have a hard time when someone says, thank you for your service and everything, and I had to get over that because I know they're being sincere. But for me, it's hard because I chose this and it's my job. Whether I was working at KTA bagging groceries when I was young or now, it's my job and I chose it. But believe it or not, my dad and many of you, Shaq, many of you here as Vietnam vets, didn't have that same community love and appreciation and understanding as I do today. And without them going through that, and without you starting to understand our lives a little bit better, it makes my job and my airmen and my soldiers and Marines so much, and my sailors so much easier for that. So thank you for giving me this time.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. So, you guys can remain standing because we're going to sing. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Thank you, Heather. She is just, go talk to her after because she is a wonderful person. And all the vets who stood up, go and thank them for what they do and appreciate them. In fact, why don't we let the vets go eat first this morning? How's that sound? Yeah?
Been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in KL, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.